If you're able to stand, let's stand. We're going to look at verse 1. I'd mentioned last week we're going to do a mini-series on spiritual leadership. Leadership is not just position. Leadership is influence. Some of you men have position, but your wife has the influence. Ladies, don't say amen to that. But that's the truth, really. Influence is spiritual leadership. And everybody in the room that knows Christ has a degree of spiritual influence. Everybody here has some influence. When I talk about spiritual influence, I'm talking about the kind of influence that helps those around you know God better. That's so important that you get that. That each and every person here that knows Christ, your influence, the influence God has given you, is to help those around you know God better. And the reality is, I'm only going to read one verse, so you won't stand too long. The reality is this. You and I cannot help others know what we don't know. I mean, and we can only help others know to the degree we know. And the blessing is, God is infinite. Which means we can keep on knowing God and never figure Him completely out. And the best thing you and I can do as a believer is get to know God, because in so doing we know love, because God is love. When we get to know God, we know life, because God is life. When we get to know God, we know light. That is what is right, because God is light. So the more we know God, the more love, the more life, the more light we're going to spread on everybody around us. Or at least we have the capacity to help others know. It's available to us. And every time we open this book, ladies and gentlemen, every time we open this book, we get to hear from God. Though God has recorded people and personalities in here, He's recorded it for you and I to be strengthened in our faith and in our knowledge of Him. And God used real people back in the days of David, just like He does today. People that had struggles, family struggles, fleshly struggles, cultural struggles. He used people back then He uses people today just like He did back then. We just got to realize these are not fictitious characters here. These are real people. We're going to read one verse. Here we go. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob." That's the title in the text. The anointed of the God of Jacob. "And the sweet psalmist of Israel said," I'm going to pause there. Father, bless the message. Minister to hearts this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the grace You've shown us. Thank You, Lord God, for touching and transforming our lives. And Lord, there are people in this room who want victory, who need victory. And Lord, we're grateful that victory is available through You. We pray You'd strengthen their faith. It certainly begins there. We ask Your blessing on the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If there ever was a spiritual leader in the nation of Israel, David was a spiritual leader. And yet God does record to you and I, boy, he made some serious mistakes. He sinned bad. And yet when all was said and done, he recovered well by acknowledging his own sin, taking responsibility for it, having his relationship with God restored, having the joy of his salvation restored. And God still used him at the end of his life to record this wonderful chapter here. Matter of fact, chapter 22 and chapter 23 are the words of David. In chapter 23, he's really giving advice to his son. He wants his son to know how to lead. And he wants his son to know the God that he knew. And he wants to brag on what God did for him. And it's interesting how he talks about himself in verse 1 here. The things he mentions in reference to himself. He is not bragging. He's stating a spiritual, a real fact, in regards to his relationship with God. And for some people, we don't get it until we get on board. Many people in the room here have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, but you don't really realize what all you got. And you really won't realize it until you decide to go the direction He's leading. I mean, all in direction. That's the way we really get to know Him, is follow Him. David, the first thing I mentioned last week, the very first thing that needs to take place in a person's life to have spiritual leadership is they must have an authentic salvation. That means a real new birth in their life where they know they've received Christ, they know they're no longer going to hell, they know that, wow, God's Word is true, God's Spirit ministered to them, confirming in their own heart, I'm going to heaven when I die. That is the first thing that must take place in anybody's life to have spiritual leadership. And by the way, if that's all you get, you've got power there. The woman at the well, I mean, she was living with a man and she meets Jesus and she hadn't even got married yet. She hadn't even got that taken care of. But she's so excited about meeting Jesus, she goes into Samaria and she tells the whole city, and the Bible says the whole town came out to see Jesus. And many believed because of her word. And she hadn't talked to Him too long, but what she received was real enough to her heart. And so, friend, I'm telling you, if you know Christ, you've got influence. If you've received Christ, you know how to help other people receive Christ. But there's more. There's more. And David certainly mentions that he is a man of faith, but he uses this statement, the anointed of the God of Jacob. Now, when you read the reference to Jacob, it refers primarily to the fleshly people of Israel. The nation of Israel as a people. When it referred to Jacob the person, after he got his name changed by God to Israel, by the way, God changed his name to Israel, you'll find in Genesis that sometimes he's still referred to as Jacob. And what's significant there is when he's referred to as Jacob, it's when he's doing his own thing, not God's. But when he follows the Lord's will, he's referred to as Israel. And it's interesting, David says the anointed of the God of Jacob, because what he's saying is, God had to anoint me to lead the people of Jacob. My physical role, my particular role in life was to be the king of this nation called Israel, the physical nation. Now, this word anointed is an interesting word here. Let me give you a few thoughts behind it. The word anoint means that you've been marked, chosen, consecrated. Now, we're going to do a little Bible study. I want you to hang in here for just a moment. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want us to look at the moment in time that David was first anointed by God. 1 Samuel 16. Now, the nation of Israel had a king at this time. His name was Saul. But this king had began to do things his own way, and he quit looking to God for leadership, for counsel. And so God said, I've chosen me a man after my own heart, to the prophet Samuel. And he had Samuel go to a man by the name of Jesse who had 8 sons. And he comes to this household. And I want you to look closely here. I'm going to read this quickly. 1 Samuel 16, it says, And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. I want to skip down here. I want to get to this. So look down to verse 5 or verse 4. It says, And Samuel said, And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come, he looked on Eliab and said, "This is Samuel, surely that's the Lord's anointed." Eliab was the oldest son of Jesse. He was probably a strong, healthy, good-looking man. And Samuel in his mind said, "I think that's the guy. This is it." But we read on, verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. So Jesse, the dad, is bringing his sons in from oldest to youngest. And the Lord said, neither hath the Lord chosen him. Verse 9, "Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen him. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horns of the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Now here's the deal. David is anointed as king as a young man. He could be 14 or 15 years old right there. And God says, my calling on this young man's life is that he would be the king of Israel. He's anointed, but it'll be a long time before he actually takes the position, before he actually takes the throne. David doesn't realize all that's going to transpire. And by the way, David wasn't looking for that job. But God called him. When a person is anointed, that means they have a special calling. When a person is anointed, that means they are marked. The word anoint means to smear or to rub. They would take oil and they would sometimes just rub it on their forehead, or sometimes they'd pour it over their head. And they'd mark them, and the oil had a sweet fragrance to it. Somebody who had been anointed, they smelled good. And the Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21, that God has anointed us that are saved. Those of us that have received Jesus Christ, God has put His mark on us. God has anointed us. God has endowed us. The word anoint means to endow. That means, that word endow means to make provision for. You know, if you go to an estate and the owners have passed away, but maybe they've endowed a loved one with all of their belongings, that means that they're going to be taken care of there. The Lord Jesus anointed you and I when we received Him as our Savior by the Spirit of Christ. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you." And this is interesting. It says, "Need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you all things." Now here, what's the deal here with this anointing? This anointing, it doesn't just mean you have an endowment from the Lord. It doesn't mean you're just marked by God and consecrated. It means you have a special, specific calling by God. God has something specific for every one of His children to do. Every one of us. David has been anointed. The Bible says the Spirit of God comes upon him. I want us to jump back in our Bible a little bit farther. Let's look at another example. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I'm sorry, chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. The very first king of Israel, Saul, was also anointed by God. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, just a few pages to your left there, the Bible says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" And listen closely as I read this out. Verse 2, he says, "When thou art departed from me today," Samuel talking to Saul, "then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery," that's a musical instrument, "and a tabard and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy." Verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, shall I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, look at verse 9, God gave him another what? And all those signs came to pass that day. So Saul was anointed. Israel had no king. But they had pleaded for a king. They were under bondage to another nation at the time called the Philistines. And so God listened to the people, the nation of Israel, and said, "All right, we'll give them a king." And God chose Saul. He was the kind of king the people wanted. He was anointed. That means he was marked. He was consecrated, called to a specific task. He was endowed with the Spirit of God power to do the task he was called to. And the Bible tells us that God gave him another heart. See, when he first met Samuel, though he was huge in stature, taller than anybody else in Israel, he was one of the most humble men. He was kind of embarrassed to be the king. He wasn't looking for the job either. But after he's anointed and after he leaves Samuel and heads home, the Spirit of God is on him and God gives him another heart. He's a transformed man. He's equipped and ready to lead the nation of Israel. And he does, for a while, deliver them from the Philistine nation. God anointed him. God anointed prophets. God anointed priests. But now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. As I read this, I have to ask myself this question. Okay, David, why did you mention that you were the anointed of the God of Jacob? Why did you present that here in your last words? What was the significance there, David? Why did you want us to know that? And I truly believe this is what he was saying. He was saying, "I know my purpose, and I know where the power comes from to fulfill it." And ladies and gentlemen, may I tell you this right now? Oh, please don't miss this. If you're ever going to be the spiritual leader that God wants you to be, if you're ever going to have the influence that God wants you to have, if you're ever going to make the impact for the cause of Christ in a dark world, if you're going to punch holes in the dark in this wretched, wicked world for Jesus Christ, listen, friend, you need to know your purpose as a Christian, and you need to know God has equipped you with the power to accomplish all that He's called you to do. By the way, let me begin with dads. Hey, Dad, you didn't just sire children. God has called you to be a father. God has called you to show them the way to the Lord. God has called you to show them an example. God has called you to show them love. God has called you to lead your home for the cause of Christ. And God has equipped you. He's given you the power to do it. And He wants you to lead. And by the way, any good godly wife wants her husband to take the lead for the glory of God. But man, I believe we've been beaten down by society. Society as a whole in this country is feminizing mankind. I mean, most programs that you would watch, if you even watch them, the woman is the head of the home, and the man is the imbecile, always fouling up. What kind of nonsense are we being taught? God wants men to lead. God wants men to follow the Lord. By the way, the best leader is one who's following the Lord. He's not calling you to browbeat. If you got to browbeat someone to follow you, you don't have influence. Influence is earned. And yet God has given you all that you need. Ladies, God has given you all that you need to take care of your home. Take care of your husband. God has equipped you. God has enabled you. And I realize, as I look out in a congregation like this, I know there's all kinds of facets of homes here, in the sense of there are some that maybe your husband doesn't come to church, or maybe your husband's not saved, or maybe your wife doesn't come to church, or maybe she's not saved, and all of that. And so what do you do? Hey, listen, God is called. If you're a lady, you have children, God's called you and God's equipped you, if you're saved, to be the mom He wants you to be, as well as be the wife, if you're married, that He wants you to be. God has equipped you for that. God has equipped you. Let me give you a key word. By the way, this is a key word for men too. The key word to make the impact. And I thought about titling this sermon, How to Activate Your Anointing. How to activate the anointing God gave you. Here's the word. Submit. Submit. That's the word. Huh? I'm talking to men too. Submit. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ submitted His will to the Father. Hey, dads, husbands. That's what we're called to do. Submit our will to the Father. If we're going to lead, if we're going to activate the power of God on our life. Hey, ladies, submit. Submit. Children, submit. There might be some single ladies in here. Listen, God has called you. You might have children. Some of you single ladies might have children you're raising. Listen, God has called you and God has equipped you. Hey, listen, if you have Jesus, you have everything you need to raise that child for God. You do. Don't be looking for love in the wrong place there. See, Jesus has it. Now, I want us to move on a little bit here in our Bible study here. Spiritual leaders know their purpose and where their power has come from. Now, I want you to notice something. There's so many blessings with knowing that you've been anointed by the Lord. One of those blessings is, turn to Psalms 20, verse 6. Psalms 20, verse 6, if you will. If not, I'll flip over there and just read it. See, you're marked by God. If you're saved, God has marked you. You're His child. Psalms 20, verse 6. Okay. Now know I that the Lord saveth His what? He will hear him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. You're real close. Turn to chapter 28. Chapter 28. Let's let the Bible do the talking. Verse 8. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His what? That's right. And you know, since we're in your Bible, rather than just hear me quote a verse, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us, that is, stabilizes us with you in Christ, and hath, what's the word, anointed us, is God. You say, I don't remember getting anointed and all that. Listen, the terminology you didn't have to be familiar with. But when you got saved, I need to grab something. When you got saved, well, it's not in there. Somebody took my olive oil out of here. Here we go. We'll use soap. When you got saved, this won't hurt at all. When you got saved, you were anointed by God. God marked you. You got a clean forehead. There we go. I got to wipe my hand off. God marked you. And here's the deal. You say, I didn't know that. I didn't know that took place. That anointing to you and I was the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. See, you may not have been aware, but when you received Jesus as your Savior, His Spirit came in your house, in your life, in your body to dwell. Now, if you want to activate that power, you've got to let Him have access to all of you. You ever invite somebody to your house, but you say, don't let them go to that room? You got that door locked, don't you, honey? We did. That's where you threw all the clutter before they came over. You know? Don't let them in there. No, don't do that. And then you get nosy guests who want to snoop around. And they say, hey, Ethel, man, they got a trashy house. Look here, look at this. Ethel. I always use Ethel. I don't know. You know, you only let people you're real comfortable with just kind of look around. You know, let me tell you something. The Lord knows all about you whether you open the doors or not. He already knows all about you. David said in Psalms 139, He knows my downsettings and my uprising. He already knows everything about you. You don't have anything to fear to open all the doors. He said, there are some places in my life that are a little awkward. Listen, let Him clean it up. Let Him come in and help. Let Him lift you up. Be willing. Ask Him. You see the difference for Saul when he first got anointed? Saul was humble. He was humble, which made him useful as an anointed man. Because God would get the glory. He wasn't bragging on himself. He wasn't talking about his great victories. He was talking about what Jesus did in his life. Friend, if you're saved, if you stay humble, all the Spirit of God, there's no limits to what God can do in you and through you. He was humble and he pursued the will of God. And as he pursued the will of God, God gave him the power to accomplish all that he needed to do. You know, the power of God always accompanies obedience. Or let me state it the other way around. Obedience to God is always accompanied by the power of God. You know, every time you obey God, you're like a sword in the hand of the Lord, cutting into the darkness of this world. Whether you see results or not, God's using you. Every time, dear wife, you submit to your husband when you don't feel like it, maybe he's being selfish. Of course, your husbands would never be selfish. Self-centered. He's just got his mind on himself. But you submit and you're a good guy. Let me tell you something. Here's what God does through you. He takes you and I'll do it to me. He gets the husband. He gets working on the husband. Husbands, you say, oh, my wife, she's stubborn. Man, she is just hard to get along with. Well, you're stuck with her, friend. It's too late now. You submit to God and you watch. You submit to God and you watch. You show, hey, love her as Christ so loved the church. You watch. You watch how Christ can work and change people's lives. Oh, He can. But the day came for King Saul. The day came for King Saul because for a while he was a weapon in the hand of the Lord, leading the nation of Israel, delivering them from the Philistines there. But the day came when Saul started looking around at his success. And Saul started taking things into his own hands. And the day came when Saul was only obedient to a degree. And he just started doing things his own way. And the Bible says the Lord left him. And Saul became a depressed, discouraged man. As a believer, he was an anointed man who once enjoyed the full blessing and power of God in his life, but now it got so bad for Saul. And if we were to read on in 1 Samuel 16, he couldn't sleep. He had paranoia problem. I mean, he was seeking therapy, and one of his counselors said, "Well, why don't we have a musician come in?" Lo and behold, that would be David. And maybe he can help calm you down. I'm telling you, you can be anointed and still have problems. You say, "Well, how?" Self-will. That is, when you know what God wants you to do, you know you're saved. You know what God wants you to do, but you refuse. It's not convenient. That'll take into my fun time, or that'll keep me from being able to do this or that, I could lose some friends if I may. And all of a sudden, you're more concerned about your glory than God's glory. And before you know it, you say, "Boy, where's the joy of my salvation? Here you are, anointed, and now it just feels like it's gone." Self-will. That boy, that still anointed. By the way, Saul, even though he backslid, he was still God's anointed. And even though he treated David with malice and tried to kill David, David too was anointed as a young man. The difference between David now and Saul was David was pursuing the will of God. Now he's being threatened by Saul and he doesn't know why. Jealousy. But David, because he's pursuing the will of God, has the wisdom of God. He knows how to behave appropriately. And then when it really got hostile, and then when David had opportunity to kill Saul, David said, "Touch not the Lord's anointed." Because though he's done wrong, and though we have opportunity to finish him off, he's God's. Woe be us to mess with the anointed. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you hold bitterness toward any brother or sister in Christ, oh, listen to me. Jesus told the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 before he got saved. He said, "Why persecutest thou me?" You know what he was saying? Every time you hurt one of the Christian saints, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Friend, I'm telling you, we better have our heart right toward each other if we want to enjoy the anointing of God. More than anything else, we need God's power. If we're going to see our children do right, we need God's power. If we're going to see our families, lead our families right, we need God's power. If we're going to see people saved in our family, amongst our friends, that we know are lost, we better understand, I need God's power. You're saved, you're anointed. Turn to one more verse and we're going to close. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. You see that passage in 1 John 2:27 that says, "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you." That passage refers to the fact that you can know God's will for yourself. Everybody in here can know God's will for themselves. By the way, the reality is, the Lord had to show me that I was supposed to be a pastor. I know God used other people to kind of direct the path, but the Lord had to give me that assurance. God knows how to give you the assurance and the guidance to do His will if you will seek Him. Now, before I read this passage, I'll close with this story. Billy Sunday. How many of you heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday, during the heyday, it was nothing for him to preach to crowds of 15,000, 20,000 people and hold 5 or 6 week long crusades in large cities throughout the U.S. And during that time, not only would they see thousands of people come to know Christ, but they would see churches established. And those who were already part of some denomination that got plugged back into a church that preached the Bible, they discovered that it transformed the communities after he had preached there. For nearly 3 years, Billy Sunday worked under a guy named Wilbur Chapman. He just helped him set up tents, and Wilbur Chapman was the preacher for these revivals. But Wilbur Chapman couldn't make it to one particular revival. He had a conflict. And so he asked Billy Sunday to preach. And Billy Sunday only had 5 sermons at the time. And Billy Sunday would get up there and he would open his Bible to Isaiah 61:1. And he took it personally. By the way, this is a passage referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Billy Sunday would read this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Billy Sunday would read that. He'd leave his Bible open, and he had his notes. He made really big notes so that when he ran by the pulpit, he could read them. But he drew from God's strength by believing that God had called him to preach. And I'm telling you what, every sermon he preached, he would have Isaiah 61:1 open. And so as I close this message, I just want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we need spiritual influence. We need more of it. God's called you. It begins with salvation. But it moves on to this. Those who are spiritual leaders, they know their purpose. And they know where they get their power. And when David said, "The anointed of the God of Jacob," he was saying, "I knew my purpose, Solomon. And I know where I got my power." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we're going to check out of this world soon. We're going to look back and we're going to wonder, did I do anything to make an impact for eternity? And it's not that God hasn't given us opportunities. As long as we're here, God says, "I've got a purpose for your life. You can choose my purpose, or you can reject it and do whatever you want." It doesn't matter how the world looks at whatever else you're doing. The question is, am I going the direction the Lord Jesus wants me to go? I got to wrap this up. Father, bless our message. This is very simple, Lord, and I pray that your people grasp this. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, those who are going to be baptized, if you'll slip out of your seat and go to the baptismal changing room, we'll get ready for you. But I want to ask this question. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, "Preacher, I don't even know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? As I look around, is there anybody like that in this room that'd say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me." All right. All right. How many here would say, "Preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart. I know I need to take the reins in some areas. I know God's plan for my life. I know that next step. And I've been fighting it. But by God's grace, I'm willing to comply. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? Amen. 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 I want to encourage you. You do as the Lord leads. We're going to have an altar call. Step out. Use the altar. Make it real before God. Father, bless those who have raised their hands. Strengthen them. Revive and refresh their spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian, what are we going to